It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen, and home team.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every day above ground is a good day, it is the home team, and it is Super Bowl week. Live from Super Bowl Radio, Rosemary Square. See what I did there, Dean Thomas?
I saw exactly what you did there.
Yeah, because we're live from the Rosemary Square.
Oh.
We're not in Vegas, where the game is. Dean, you'll be there in a couple of days, though. You'll be there.
Yeah, a couple days. You know, I'm going to be out there. Actually, I'm not going to be out there. But I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl, though. That's the important thing.
I thought you were in Vegas this weekend.
No, I'm not in Vegas this weekend.
Oh.
But there is a slight chance I could go. But now that I just realized that it's going to be chaotic out there, I don't know if I want to go. You know what I'm saying?
I could see that. Like, if it's a little bit chaotic, like, that's just, like, a lot to, like, there's just so much going on in Vegas, like this weekend, that I'm sure it's just going to be so crazy and there's going to be so many people there. Like, I don't like huge crowds.
Well, that's my thing, is everybody thinks that I like all these big crowds. And I don't really like big crowds like that. I try to stay low key, especially like when in Vegas where it's going to be so busy, so much traffic, so much going on, all these parties and everybody going, ooh, let me get into that party. Let me go to that party. I'm not trying to do all that.
There's all the celebs, there's all the fans, and then too, like, so Saturday night, there are some fights?
Yeah, there's fights Saturday night.
So fights on Saturday, there's the Super Bowl on Sunday, or the big game, whatever we can call it. But it's crazy, and like, yeah, like, I like big crowds in some scenarios, like, I liked going to the big events, but I hate being actually, like, in those big crowds with all those people. I'm like, don't touch me, get away from me, I don't like this. Like, I would avoid it like you.
And you possibly know what else is going on?
I would want to go to the parties, though.
I'm not trying to go to the parties. I'm not trying to do any of that stuff. But you know what's going on out there that I've never been to that I kind of want to see it live in person? Like, I've been there when it's happened, like in the building when it's happened, but I never actually witnessed. You want to guess what that is?
Can I have some hints?
It's a combat sport.
Okay.
It involves hitting each other.
That's what, isn't that like maybe combat means? Like there's involved or something. There's some sort of movement, hitting or something. Is like kickboxing? Is there something that like Wiz Khalifa puts on?
No.
Like that's in Vegas or whatever that involves like jujitsu and stuff?
Oh, you're talking about the high rollers. High rollers where they smoke weed and then they have to compete.
Yes.
No, it's not that. It's not that.
Okay. I don't know.
Power slap.
No, I can't watch those videos. I don't know what gets you to a point to want to sign up for power slap. But hey, like they're doing it. There's a lot of people that obviously are participating in power slap, and Dana White's made it a thing. But that's why, was that like a coincidence or was it already scheduled?
No, I think they scheduled it around it. I mean, because there's so much going on during the week. So like power slap is on Friday night.
Oh wow.
The UFC is Saturday night, and then the big football game, obviously, being on Sunday night.
Yes. Wow, that's an eventful weekend in Las Vegas.
And I'm not trying to be out there for all that, but I do want to, if not watch Power Slap, I want to have a Power Slap match.
You want to get slapped?
Yeah.
And you want to slap, or do you really want to slap someone?
No. Like, if I do it.
We got Josh in there.
Josh is back. We hear him.
I was going to have Tina Power slap me during the break.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to film it.
I don't know what the hell is going on. I got disconnected here, and one second I'm gone. Next second I come back, and Dean wants to get slapped in the face. Listen, we can make that happen. We can definitely make that happen for you.
Yeah, let's make that happen. I want Tina to power slap me on camera.
I couldn't slap you.
You have to.
I couldn't. I don't think I could pull it together to actually slap you. I care too much about you.
Well, you're going
to
do it, though.
She can't. She won't say a Yo Mama joke to you. You think she's going to slap you in the jaw?
Seriously.
I want her to. I really want her
all
to.
All right.
I need some content for today.
I apologize. I understand. I apologize for the technical issue. No idea. I got cut out and dropped off from you guys. But, yes, it is Super Bowl week, and we are counting down to kickoff on Friday. In case you didn't know, there's going to be a very special broadcast from noon until 6 with all kinds of guests joining us. C-Cat is going to ride co-pilot on that. I'm going to try and fly this jet, and we're going to do Super Friday live on ESPN 106.3. Dean, you get to take the day off. You're excited. Tina, are you going to be in the building? You'll be able to pop in, drop in, or are you just there for the food because we're eating some Buds and some Twin Peaks too?
I will be in the office, and I definitely will pop in like the show if you would like me to. I'll be here all day enjoying the food, enjoying all the content.
Well, I told y'all last week I would show up. I wanted to show up and give y'all some support. So I know 6 hours is a long time, so I'm a roll through for at least an hour or so.
Well, we are expecting a whole lot of guests like we used to do on Radio Row back in the day. We are expecting guests live in studio as well as on the phone. Guys who played in the game, guys who covered the game, folks that are familiar with the National Football League as players, coaches, broadcasters, etc. So we're excited about that. It's a takeover, if you will, Friday, noon to 6, Super Friday on ESPN 106.3. More details coming up here shortly. I did just check Hard Rock Bet, the line for the game. The Niners, a 2-point favorite. Is anybody else noticing a trend here? A trend that began in Buffalo? A trend that continued in Baltimore? Dean Thomas, connect the dots. What do we see in common in the last 3 weeks here with the National Football League and the Kansas City Chiefs?
That they've been underdogs, but they've been able to overcome the underdog status and win the games outright.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Wow.
I don't remember ever, guys, ever. Tina's excited because Dean went from power slapping to being right about something.
Seriously, yes, I'm shocked.
That was a total guess, too.
But you were like you made it sound like you knew exactly what you're talking about.
I had no idea.
I did set it up, though. To be fair,
yeah, you did set me up to win.
Right, for sure. So, guys, Patrick Mahomes has been doing this for 6 full seasons. I don't see Cat. You follow the line. Hard Rock Bet now has them as a 2-point dog. Can you recall in your life, meaning Patrick Mahomes' career, when he was ever an underdog 3 consecutive football games? I'm going to say this is unprecedented.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever happened in his career, for sure. No doubt about that.
Yeah, but they never played against the Niners.
No, actually, they did in the Super Bowl back 4 years ago. Tina, do you know what unprecedented means?
Like it's never happened before.
That's exactly right.
Well, yes.
I should just hang up. You guys are killing it. We don't need you today. All right, I'm hanging up the phone.
No.
My connection works. I'm gonna go back to the microphone.
You hung up, and then we just started talking about slapping Dean, and he wants to be a part of Power Slap. Oh, but I think he's connecting in some other way.
Oh, so. Did he really?
We actually did hang up.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. Nice. You sound much better.
Okay, here we go. Yes, everything goes the way it's supposed to. So I don't know what's happening. We're 10 minutes in. Dean is right about things. He wants to get slapped. Tina knows what unprecedented means.
Right?
It's a parallel universe. It's bizarro world where Superman resides.
I have no idea how that happened.
No idea. There's never been a case in which Patrick Mahomes in the National Football League has been an underdog 3 consecutive games. In fact, guys, prior to the Buffalo Bills game, C-Cat, correct me if I'm wrong, he'd only been an underdog in his NFL career 3 times.
I'm not going to correct you because I think you're right.
This is a wild situation. They were dogs at Buffalo. We understand why. They win. They were dogs at Baltimore outright. They win. There's a trend here. And what it says is keep doubting the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep installing them as slight underdogs because they just go ahead and win games. 2 points is where the line currently situates. You guys know 3 is a key number. That means that obviously you try to stay off of that number because people have a chance to win their bet and then insure it, meaning hedge it on the other side by taking the points as well as giving the points. I'll be interested to see what happens on Hard Rock Bet, the only legal place you can bet this game and any other game in the state of Florida. I'll be interested to see what happens Sunday afternoon, because something tells me that this game either goes off at a pick'em, or the Kansas City Chiefs could actually be a slight favorite.
But Josh, here's my question to you.
Sure.
Is they always seem like, whoever does these lines, they always seem to get it so close. Like, how, like, with so many different things that can happen in a game, how are the line makers able to get it so close every time?
Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. It seems like they are because you're running all the numbers. You're running all the numbers of what this team normally does on offense, what they normally give up, and then you correspond that to the other team, what they normally do and what they normally give up, and therefore you get, you know, Dean, it's like, you know, a large enough sample, you get an idea of what it is, right?
All right, because I'm always wondering, I'm like, you're like, man, they're up by three and they just need three to cover, and I'm like, wait a minute, how do they know the line makers get so close every time? But I get it now. If you, with enough sample size, you can make those numbers happen.
Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're not. So we've got a 2-point spread, total of 47.5 points, and a bajillion props that you can play at Hard Rock Bet. Parlays you can put together as well. We'll get into that as the week progresses, but we've got an issue with breaking news out of Las Vegas, and this is problematic. The San Francisco 49ers are huge mad. They are unhappy with the turf conditions of their practice field, which is fresh sod situated on top of field turf, the artificial, and they're doing this at UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, down the road from Allegiant Stadium. Now, guys, normally speaking, the field has a grade for hardness. There's a hardness score for NFL fields. The average is 78 in the National Football League, and no field in the NFL has been hardness score tested beneath 70. So the range is 70 is soft, and 78 is average. The field that the 49ers walked on when they arrived yesterday and that attempted to walk through and practice on is in the 50s.
Whoa.
According to sources.
Is it a swamp?
Telling Adam Schefter. That's a great question, Dean Thomas, because as an athlete, isn't this dangerous to be practicing on a field like that?
It is dangerous. I mean, you kind of need similar conditions to be able to get your work in. And in a game like this, it seems criminal that they would allow this to happen.
Something's wrong with the turf, C-Cat. Now, questions will be asked, is it in some way, you know, intentional? Is this sabotage? Is someone attempting to put them on a bad field to distract them, to not allow them to get full practice? Should we be concerned about the turf that's going inside the stadium on Sunday? Because the Super Bowl will be played on grass, like the Raiders play. It's trays that get loaded back in. It's not an artificial surface. But it does seem a little sketchy that in this day and age, in a multi-billion dollar game, the Niners show up on a field that was prepared for them, and it's got a hardness score in the 50s, which is 20-some points beneath the NFL average. C-Cat.
Yeah, I think it's just coincidental, and I think it's one guy's fault. And after they started complaining, everyone that worked with that one guy at UNLV turned and looked at him and thought, you messed up. You bleeped up. I don't know how you fix that at all. How do you fix that? Just move to a different field, right?
You replace the field. You replace the turf.
And they're going to do that.
I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how you do that. But it feels like a little bit of conspiracy, sabotage, inside job, somebody attempting to disrupt. I mean, you guys know, crazy things happen all this week because there's billions of dollars on the line. Things happen where there's an attempt to pull fire alarms in their hotel to get everyone to miss nights of sleep.
Or that time with the Buffalo Bills when they didn't turn the hot water on for them.
And the hot water situation.
That was just being petty.
But this is being petty too. They're trying to get an advantage.
I don't think anyone purposely made that feel like not being able. I think I agree with TK. Like, I just think it just happened. It was a coincidence. And like, it just, and no one planned it and is trying to sabotage them. That sounds ridiculous.
It sounds very viable to me for somebody to
coming from the one who just asked me to slap him mid-break and get it videotaped.
Valid point.
Yeah.
That's a valid point.
Yes.
The NFL's had a dude who's taken care of the turf for every game for like the last 40 years. They take this very seriously. Now, this is not the game surface, we understand. But my mind would be blown if it were true that somehow the Niners were just relying on dudes that worked at UNLV to say, oh, no, we got a practice field for you. Don't worry about that. Like, every detail is looked, double-checked, and then confirmed by somebody else. Every I is dotted. Every T is crossed. Every minute detail is covered. And to think that the Niners would be provided a playing surface where the score of the hardness is in the 50s as opposed to 75-78 is wild to me. I mean, my mind would be blown if it was like, oh, well, Ernie's got a cousin and they do turf and they just brought it in for the Niners. Like, we got it covered.
I'm saying like this. Check the cameras, because I would not doubt if somebody from Taylor Swift's camp gave Ernie an envelope.
I knew you were going to say Taylor Swift.
Or better yet, what if there's surveillance video and there's about 300 Swifties. Taylor Swift fans and they're all peeing on the field? <to soften it up.
laughs> Yep. I would not doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. I'm telling you.
Maybe the Swifties did something. Like, they were like, nope, the Chiefs got to win. Like, how do we sabotage the 49ers? Like, there's Swifties everywhere.
It is wild. Speaking of wild and distractions, it wouldn't be Super Bowl week without distractions and stories that are not for the field, but instead take us off the field with family members, with all kinds of drama and nonsense. And this is coming from Patrick Mahomes Sr., who was arrested Saturday night for his third suspicion of DWI, driving under the influence, driving while intoxicated. This would be a third drunk driving arrest for Patrick Mahomes Sr. if he is convicted. And that would mean, guys, that he faces up to 10 years in prison.
Mm. Oh, no.
We were talking about Sr. last week.
I was just about to say, at that point, he's thinking, it's not so bad to sit with Taylor Swift in this.
Right, I'd rather be in the suite. Yeah. Right, with Jason Kelce, no shirt on, and Taylor Swift carrying on with my idiot daughter-in-law, than I would be sitting in a jail cell for 7-10 years. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. The drunk driving is a problem. His third DUI suspicion, DWI arrest is a problem. You heard the audio. We played it last week. He was talking about the cigar that he was smoking, the victory cigar, the Lamar Jackson blend victory cigar that he had flued in, FLU apostrophe D, he had flued in. And then he recognized, I can't say the past tense of fly, flee, flew. So then he just said, shipped in. Remember, he cleaned that up right quick.
Yeah.
But you could tell he was drinking a little bit. You could tell he was drinking a little bit, which is what he does, and that's okay. You hope that the man has just made a bad decision a couple of times, as opposed to really being a threat to himself and to the safety of others. The reason that there's strict drunk driving laws is that innocent people were getting killed by those that didn't think there'd be any ramification or repercussion for them consuming alcohol and then driving. His issue, whatever it may be, is his issue. But you understand that the media now makes this a storyline because they need stories for 5, 6, 7 days. And this becomes how much of a distraction is this for Mahomes and the Chiefs? You understand where this goes from here, Dean Thomas.
Yeah, I don't like it because, I mean, you said whatever his problem is, and I'm hoping it's not an issue with him having a problem with authority, because a lot of successful people get in that position. I mean, his son's the greatest quarterback of all time. He was a professional athlete.
Right.
So they get to a point where they're like, oh, I could do what I want. It's just a couple drinks. I can do what I want. And the next thing you know, you got another situation like this. But I don't think that this is going to really bother the team or Patrick Mahomes or distract him at all. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be like, I mean, you got to expect it.
But you understand the media is going to do their job.
Yeah.
And they're going to ask these questions. And tonight is opening night. Tonight is a night where there's going to be hundreds of media members and credentialed idiots, including women in wedding dresses and probably men in wedding dresses, that do what they do for this opening media night. But, you know, Mahomes, this is the fourth game for them and the Chiefs in the last 5 years. So they're accustomed to things similar to this. If this were, you know, the Purdy side, well, it'd probably be a much bigger problem because this is all new to him. You know what I'm saying, Tina?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is used to distractions. Like, he had his brother, like, 2 seasons ago, that was a big distraction. Like, right. His wife has been a distraction. This season, he has Taylor Swift, like, maybe not really a direct distraction with him, but he's had this whole Taylor Swift era, you know, thing going on the whole season with the Chiefs and Travis Kelce. So I don't really think this will bother him at all because he's had distractions all the time.
Certainly, it's not something that the organization wants. It's not something Patrick wants. It's something he's got to be embarrassed by. The problem is, it's not that his old man got busted for DUI. It's a third arrest for suspicion.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I think that this is a situation where Patrick Mahomes is just shaking his head like, not again. Yeah. You know, it's no, he's not going to be distracted by it because at some level, he's got to be used to it. Like for me, like I know my pop used to always mess up. So when he messed up again, it would just be like, oh, man, not again. So I think that's probably the same situation with Patrick Mahomes.
It's just the timing of this. You know, the timing of it could not be worse, given that it is Super Bowl week, where there's all eyes and all microphones and all keyboards and all everybody looking for something. Well, here's a story. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. You know, that's the thing, right?
Poor Patrick Mahomes, though. You know what I'm saying? Like
his brother, his father.
But his brother's worse. Like, I can actually accept what the father's doing because, like, that, I get it, right? But his brother's worse.
His brother's been quiet. His brother, I feel like, has been, like, on the down low. Like, I haven't heard much about his brother, but his brother at one point was like a big distraction and like always in the headlines.
In the last 6 months, his brother and his father both arrested in the last 6 months.
Hold on. What did his brother get arrested for? I didn't even know his brother got arrested.
Sexual assault.
Yeah. Oh. A video came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He kissed a woman against her will and like grabbed her face forced himself. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Not good. No. So we wish for the best of luck for all involved, certainly. And if Pat Sr., you know, needs a little bit of help, I hope he gets that. There's nothing wrong with needing help, and there's everything right with asking for it. Dean, I mean, you know, lots of people that have thought that it was weak in some way to ask for help or to admit they had a problem, and what strength it actually is, and I know you're a huge proponent of mental health, what a huge show of strength it is when folks admit and ask for assistance.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a position now where he could do something really good and really inspiring to people, and that is maybe admit that he might have a problem. Like, if you have three DUIs, that's probably a problem.
It seems that way.
Yeah, because that's 3 times that you got caught.
Right.
So, I mean, that, think of all the other times he didn't get caught. So you might have an issue. So the strongest thing he can do right now is ask for help.
Amen to that. Back to Patrick Mahomes, who was speaking earlier, actually late last week, about going to a back-to-back Super Bowl. Remember, they did this a few years back. They came to Miami in Super Bowl LIV, right before pandemic hit. They won that game over these Niners. Then the next year, in front of, I think, 30% capacity of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, they went and thought they'd go back-to-back and win that second consecutive. And instead, they got housed. They got bullied by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's Mahomes talking about another chance based off last year, a second chance to win that second back-to-back.
The last time we tried to go back-to-back, we won like, I think we were like 14-1 going into last week, got the rest, lost that game, and then kind of rolled through the playoffs. And it's never easy, but I mean, we played well, and it was kind of like, oh, we're just going to do it again. We're going to do it. We're going to go out there and play again. And we got our butt kicked. And so this year, it's been completely opposite. It's been a struggle throughout the season, and we've had to continue to get better and better. And that's what I've always preached. But I think some of the losses kind of forced us to, like, we have to continue to get better. And I think now it's just not being satisfied with getting there. I mean, this is a great football team that we're going up against. It's going to take our best football, kind of like it's taken the last 3 weeks that we've played.
He makes a valid point there, fellas. And
yeah, I like that.
He says, you know, we were rolling in 2020. We were 14-1 or whatever it was. We were rolling. And then we got our butt kicked. And in this case, this team struggled. This team suffered. This team got beat at home on Christmas Day by the lowly Raiders, and then they found themselves getting better when it mattered most. It was super cold, and they held off the Dolphins, and then they go to Buffalo on the road. That's impressive. They go to Baltimore. So, like, they're doing the inverse of that easy kind of, and it's been hard for them. They're playing better now, and as we always talk about, it's not the best team. It's who's playing the best right now.
Right.
And CK, you can confirm, this is the best the Chiefs have looked consecutive games all season.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a lot of things wrong, and they have done a lot of things wrong this season. But the one thing, and the most important thing they do right, is knowing how to win the football game, which it sounds obvious, right? It sounds like, but it's not moving the football. It's not just defending the pass. It's just adapting to who they are playing, game planning, and executing that game plan to neutralize the opponent. And they've done that every game that they've been underdog so far.
Dean, UFC, former fighter, current coach, current corner. The adaptation of, I know what I want to be, or I know what I've been, but in the moment, here's what I need to do and force my opponent to do to increase. It is a giant game of chess. You understand as well as anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the first time I can agree with TK.
Yes.
Because he's right about, yeah, he's right about that. Like, knowing how to win is a skill in itself, because you can have all the skills in the world, but if you don't know how to use them and know how to actually win, then you're at a deficit. So knowing how to win. And then another thing about that, like he was talking about before, you know, they were rolling. And there's only one thing worse than underestimating your opponents, and that's overestimating yourself.
Mm.
And that's one thing that obviously now they're not doing, because they did have such a rough season. So now they're going in now thinking, all right, we done worked this hard. Now we got to really show out.
Tina, when Dean speaks of overestimating yourself, does that remind you of C-Cat during Championship of Cringe jokes?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Me too. Me
yes.
too.
Yes. Yeah. Spot on.
I want to make sure that I wasn't the only one.
No.
When Dean speaks of overestimating yourself and your talent, that I wasn't thinking C-Cat going, thanks, everybody, for being here. If you could take a seat, please. I know it's very crowded.
Then he hits a laugh track.
Yeah.
Well, I think apart from that, talking about the Texans-Chiefs game, the playoffs, in that Super Bowl run when Patrick Mahomes won his first Super Bowl, they came back from, a 24-point deficit in the first half? Like, they were down to Deshaun Watson and that Texans team. That probably did some damage to overestimating themselves, where they thought, well, we can just kind of chill in the first half, or it's okay if we don't start hot. We know that we can come back in any deficit.
We're a team of destiny.
Come a year and a half later, they got put in a big deficit against the Buccaneers, against Tom Brady in that game, and they didn't come close to ever competing in that football game. You learn from the games like that that you are not immortal at all.
Yeah. It's not what it was before, and you can't pick up where you were, and there's no, like, hitting that button. We heard that for the Lakers the last couple of years. Well, when the playoffs or play-in roll around, they'll turn it on. You can't flip that switch. The switch doesn't exist. Meanwhile, Mahomes talks about getting back to the Super Bowl for a second consecutive year, a fourth in 5 years, and the idea of, you know, we're here now. We got business to finish. Take a listen to George Kittle, the tight end of the San Francisco 49ers, back in Miami 4 years ago, LIV on the sideline, sitting there watching the final seconds as the Chiefs were going to steal that Lombardi trophy from them. The Niners with a 10-point lead, mind you, in the fourth quarter of that game. He was mic'd up. Listen to Kittle talking to himself about this moment that he realizes, we failed, I'm not getting the ring, but you know what? I'm going to get back here one day.
I will be back here, and I will be back with vengeance. You will not get the best of me, no sir.
That's an athlete talking to himself. He's not talking to the media. He's talking to teammates. That's an athlete in the moment who's reminding himself, hey, this sucks. I'll be back. It's not over. Dean, you can relate.
Yeah, that's powerful. I didn't realize that he's just kind of verbalizing them thoughts out loud. That's very powerful to be able to do that in that moment like that. I mean, that's strong. That's a strong will right there.
Tina, is that you every morning at 5:45 when you get to, I'm sorry, at 4:45 when you get to F45?
Well, No, I'm winning when I'm there. Like, when I go to F45, I'm winning. I'm getting the gains. So, no, I'm telling myself, like, oh, I'll be back tomorrow. Maybe I'm lifting heavier, but.
No, I'm talking about when you're standing outside and you're like, oh, I woke up. Like, I'll be back. I'll be back here again. I'll be back here again tomorrow.
Sometimes I think that, yeah.
Your voice is brutal today. What's going on, party girl? You sound like Tara Reid. I'm wild out.
Honestly, it's a party girl-like voice that's gone.
Yeah. So how did you, because I can attest, I hit her up this morning at 4:45, and I said, you better be getting ready to go to F45, and she sent me a message right back.
I sent him a selfie that I was getting ready, and then he goes, no, you actually have to go. Then I sent him another selfie when I was done, and I was like, got my workout in.
Your voice sounds like you went hard this weekend.
Maybe I did.
Yeah, the girl.
You went hard this week? You went hard in the paint?
Yeah, hard in the paint.
A little too hard, but we're good.
Your voice just reminded me of Tara Reid hosting that show on E. Remember, Dean, when she'd get drunk and travel?
Uh-huh.
Hey, what was it, Wild On, Wild Off?
What was that show called? whatever it was. Tina sounds like
that. My advice is to not go so hard and then have a really crazy busy day the next day, because that's probably why my voice is gone.
Tina and I subscribe to two different theories. For those that don't know, Tina, what time do you wake up every day?
4:30 a.m.
4:30 a.m. What time are you in the gym? What time are you at F45?
5:15 a.m.
5:15 a.m. So we got two different mindsets. Dean, I know that you already know this. Tina is about the F45, and my theory is F45.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in bed.
Yeah.
Tina, tell people why you love going there every morning when you do, because I know it is a huge part of your life now.
It really is a huge part of my life. I am there 6-7 days a week. Like, that is my other home. Besides the studio here and the office here, like, that is my other home. F45 Palm Beach Gardens or F45 West Palm Beach. If you stick to it, you will see the results. It's fast, fun workouts, only 45 minutes. There's a trainer there to help you modify if you need it. The group around you is so motivating and wants you to just help you and get your fitness on. Again, go to F45 Palm Beach Gardens or F45 West Palm Beach. Their Instagrams, they've got some specials going on for February, or go to F45training.com to find a studio near you.
From the sounds of it, your home away from home isn't just F45, it's the bar.
It's
that's the bar. That's the other home.
That's another home.
How many homes you got?
A few.
Were you dancing on a bar by any chance this weekend?
No, I was not.
But you were out Saturday night in Jupiter, weren't you?
I was, but Friday night was my party night. Saturday was my, I couldn't party at all day.
I got a text message, Dean Thomas and C-Cat, from a little boy who's now a grown man. He's probably 28 years old. He's buddies with my nephew, and he grew up with my nephew, right down the street, as a matter of fact, from my nephew, my sister's house, you know, where I grew up as well. And he texted me Sunday morning, and he said, "I think I saw the girl from your show out last night in Jupiter." Sounds about right.
I had a birthday dinner in Jupiter Saturday night, so I was out Saturday night, but I was drinking ginger ale. I was not drinking any alcohol. I could not have any Saturday.
It says, quote, this was a yesterday, 9:51 a.m. "I think I saw that blonde girl you work with last night." Didn't get the chance to say anything. She was leaving topside in Jupiter when I got there.
Oh, that was her.
That was me. That
celebrity
was totally
sightings.
Wow.
Tina, celebrity sightings. This ball-headed kid was going to walk up to you with a Geneva, New York accent and say, "Hey, what's going on? I know Josh Cohen from home." And you'd have been like, "Excuse me?"
Yeah, I was struggling, so I would have been like, "Hi and bye." So
you'd had a hard time understanding what he was saying. What are you talking about?
Probably.
Coming up when we return, what happens when you're a big-time college athlete and you think that somebody's messing with you and you kind of swat them away? And then you turn around and realize it's not who you thought it was. We will tell you exactly how that works when we return in just a second. First, though, actually, no, we already did that, didn't we?
Great. Yeah.
We'll take a break. It is Super Bowl week on the home team as we are live from Radio Rosemary Square on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
It is Super Bowl week as we are counting down to kick off on Sunday, and a special broadcast happening on Friday live from noon until 6 uninterrupted. It'll be myself, C-Cat, and a cast of thousands. We are going to have Super Friday on ESPN 106.3. with very special guests joining us live, in person, and on the phone from all around the country, including from Las Vegas, site of Super Bowl 58, where Dean won't be, after all.
I won't be there.
Speaking to Dean Thomas, coming up in just a second, we've got big-time college athlete not realizing who he was dealing with when he expected, and I guess assumed, the worst. That often happens with Dean Thomas. He has no idea who he's dealing with. And then it turns out it's the Vice President of the United States.
Yeah, that happens to me quite often.
I bet it does. I've been told, Tina, as you often have as well, that you have a nice bod. I hear it all the time. I have a nice bod. They say you have a nice bod.
Yeah.
They don't say that about Dean, but what they do is they take the N away and they say, "Hey, Dean, you have an ice bod."
I like what you did there.
With these days, because Lord knows he ain't getting that in.
That is true. That is true. But let me tell you about this, because I work out and nobody knows pain like me, but I got to show up the next day. So recovery is important for me. So I got just the answer for that. It's wearable cryotherapy, IceBod Active wearable cryotherapy, the first of its kind. Form-fitting compression shirts and pants. You put the ice-cold gel packs in it. You just put it on and you go. I'm telling you, if you need to recover, if you're playing sports, it doesn't matter. If it's golf, soccer, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter. You need to try this wearable cryotherapy. IceBod Active. Go to IceBodActive.com. Get yours. Do it now. Use the coupon code ESPN1063. That's ESPN1063. And get 20% off your first purchase. Trust me on this. If you need to recover fast, it's the easiest way to recover. You just put it on and go. IceBodActive.com. That's IceBodActive.com.
So you take the gel packs and you put them in the fridge,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then you remove them and you put them into the compartments of the compression sleeves.
Right.
That must feel fantastic.
No, yeah. It's amazing. I got a leg sleeve and I have an ice pack for my knee and my shin. And it just, again, like, I have pretty bad knees from, like, playing flag football and working out. And, like, you just put this sleeve on and it just, again, it's, like, all, it's cold. But the recovery, like, recovery is so, it's so needed because you can't improve without recovery.
Yeah, you need to recover from your weekend of drinking. Listen to your voice.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
That was a Friday, by the way. How are you getting kind of points of getting over this hangover? That was Friday night. It is Monday. You should be fine.
I did brunch yesterday.
You don't know
too.
How hard she went.
I also brunched yesterday.
Okay, that so, was left
that
out.
That explains
so,
it. Yeah, yesterday.
I didn't get crazy yesterday, though. I just like had a casual brunch, but there were some tequila espresso martinis involved. So. Oh.
Yeah, I bet there were.
Yeah.
Dean, what's the website one more time for the IceBod? Because I'm going to check to see if they do underpants. I like to get underpants with gel packs in them for myself.
It's IceBodActive.com.
Very nice. Thank you. College athlete. Didn't know who he was dealing with. And then realized who he was dealing with and did what we call a 180. I love, Tina, when people say, oh, yeah, he had a 360-degree change of attitude. Well, no, that's not a change. You're exactly where you are.
Yes, yes.
Right. Pulling a 360 is not pulling in anything, but pulling a 180 totally is.
Yes.
We had a college basketball game this weekend with Auburn at Ole Miss. And in this game, with about a minute and 30-some left, Auburn had a 10-point lead on the old Ole Miss squad. This player, his name is Johnny Broom, and he was standing by the courtside seats on the sideline, and he had somebody holding on, tugging his jersey. He swatted his hand behind himself to remove the hand from his jersey, as a player would do, thinking that an obnoxious fan is grabbing them, is touching them. Dean, you can relate.
Yeah, because I've had my hand swatted a couple times.
Problem. It's supposed to be the other way around. Oh. Turns out that Mr. Johnny Broom, the player from Auburn, who was in hostile territory at Ole Miss, that swatted without looking the hand that was grabbing his jersey there on the baseline, the courtside seats. And you have to figure if you're sitting on the floor, those are floor seats, they must be, you know, either well-connected or wealthy to some degree. Well, this kid didn't care. Like, why are you touching me? Why are you holding my jersey? He swatted the hand, and then as he was running down court, he looked back and noticed that it was Morgan Freeman.
No!
Oh, my goodness!
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. And if you are of a certain age, you might think Morgan Freeman actually is God. I mean, I imagine that's what God looks yeah. like and what God sounds like. But if you're, you know, a 20-year-old college kid, you might think, holy bleep, I just swatted God.
Yes. It's one thing. I tell you what, like, when y'all was talking about Matthew McConaughey with those college kids, they didn't know who he was. Everybody knows Morgan Freeman.
Correct. Everyone.
Everybody Correct. Knows Morgan.
Yeah. Johnny Broom said, quote, I thought it was an Ole Miss fan just grabbing my jersey and holding on to me. Then I saw who it was, and you know, I'm a big movie guy. I probably watched some of his movies on the plane coming here. But I realized it was him and was like, quote, oh my gosh, I'm a big fan, I'm sorry, end quote. And he just said to keep playing. Which might mean get out of my face, swat my hand, go play.
Yeah, right? But I mean, I wonder if he was offended. I wonder if Morgan Freeman was offended.
Why was he tugging on his jersey though? Like, that's where I could understand like his reaction, right? Because if someone was doing that to me and I'm like in the middle of a game, I'm like, hey, like, leave me alone.
So they did kind of go out of bounds. They did kind of go. So there were people holding up their hands, if you will, to stop them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is fine. You know, imagine like a player going into the crowd, you know, to try and help them from falling down. But then the grab of the jersey, the hold of the jersey lasted a little longer than it needed to. It was one of those kind of, hey, notice me, where maybe the kid didn't see who it was, and Morgan Freeman wanted to make this kid's year or blow his mind. Well, he did by getting slapped, and then the kid turned around and was like, oh. So when the play came down the other end of the court, this kid ran back there and went and apologized to Morgan Freeman and was like, oh, gosh, I'm a big fan. I'm sorry. And that's when Morgan Freeman told him to just keep playing.
Oh, I would have been embarrassed if I was him, for sure.
Here's my question. See, Cat, Auburn to Ole Miss, that flight is what, 40 minutes?
Yeah, not
that
very far.
Yeah, it's like a 35-minute flight. He said he was probably watching his movies on the plane.
No, yeah.
Liar. What movie did he watch?
Yeah.
But, no, multiple, too. Like, multiple movies in the 40-minute yeah. plane ride. Yeah.
He probably watched a commercial with Morgan Freeman in it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, and I know we spent good time on this on Friday, but not since Dean was back with us, the passing of Carl Weathers.
Oh, man.
The legendary Carl Weathers, also known as Apollo Creed. Part of the nicknames I've had in my radio career, the Master of Disaster, the King of Sting, those were taken directly from Apollo Creed. My first on-air liners that were like, you're listening to. And back then, I think it was called The Home Team with Josh Cohen. And then it would say, the Master of Disaster, the King of Sting. Because, you know, I cause problems. And Dean knows I throw some insults. I sting. I can hurt people a little bit with words.
Oh, absolutely.
I mentioned on Friday that I saw Carl Weathers, I said, in a commercial 2 days earlier, and I thought to myself, how does this man look so young, look so amazing? That commercial was for an online sports book. That ad was supposed to run again during the Super Bowl. Mm. It's he and Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not going to show the ad. Out of sensitivity to the family, they are removing the Carl Weathers spots from the Super Bowl commercial rundown.
I hope they give him some kind of love, though, man, because Carl Weathers is a staple of our time period. I mean,
yeah.
of our generation. Yeah. Like, Apollo Creed?
How many times in the early years, Dean, were you and I referencing ourselves and joking about the Rocky-Apollo Creed comparison? You know, running on the beach.
It was an everyday thing.
Yeah, yeah. Dean oftentimes talks about hamburger meat on your chest for people that have a certain type of chest hair.
Yeah.
And when you talk about hamburger meat on your chest, you reference who?
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed chest hair.
Carl Weathers at the age of 76.
Oh, man, I can't. That one hit me kind of hard, actually.
Yeah. But I didn't remember on Friday where I had seen him. But Wednesday night, I saw Carl Weathers in that commercial with Gronk. And the first thing I thought was, how does this man look so amazing, look so healthy, look so young? And it's not like, you know, Botox and filler and the obvious facelift type stuff. He just looked phenomenal, passing away Thursday night, come to find out the age of 76.
Wow. But you know what, something about him that I truly admire was his range. Like, you could play Apollo Creed, right, for all them years and be kind of, everybody sees you as Apollo Creed, but then right. he come back and do Happy Gilmore
right.
and pull that off right. to where you forgot that was Apollo Creed and now it's just Chubbs.
In fact, I think it was Jeanette the other day who said, I didn't even make the connection that he was the same dude from Rocky.
No kidding.
Yeah. I also saw that on Twitter, that people were like, wait a minute, Apollo Creed was Chubbs from, they're just putting it together now. And that's a great testament to your, like you said, your range and your talent and your likability. Listen, there would have been no Rocky if there wasn't an Apollo Creed.
Right.
We talked about it on Friday at nauseam. I know I went on and on, but the thing was, Carl Weathers played that role to a point that you can't imagine anybody else doing it. And it was based on, obviously, Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. who was a very likable personality for most people, but also controversial because of his anti-war stance and of refusing to go into the draft, etc. That's a character that began as very unlikable, that by Rocky III, you all fell in love with. And he became, you know, that charming Rocky's best friend, kind of. He went from the villain, you know, the rival, to being the guy who believed in Rocky, who lifted him up, who allowed him to get past those struggles and beat Clubber Lang.
Yeah. And then by the fourth one, right? So he only took that fight against Drago because, like, he was a little bit jealous of Rocky. And that's just kind of how the fight career is. Like, when you got another guy coming up, and sometimes you're looking at him like, man, this guy's getting all the accolades, and I was before him. And he took that fight with Drago, and it didn't work out for him.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Yeah, not good. By the way, spoiler alert, Dean's ruining Rocky IV. And I know it's only 39 years old.
All I said is it ain't work out for him. So you could still watch Rocky IV and be surprised.
Now, Friday, I explained. I said when he died in Rocky IV, and these guys are like, and Jeanette's like, thanks a lot. And I'm like, if I'm giving you a spoiler alert, something that's 39 years old, you're in the wrong place, honey. Just saying.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It is time now for Remember When, presented by Brain Matters Research, memoryscreeningsflorida.com. This is painful for a lot of you from the Dirty Dirty. Take a listen. You remember.
19! Forget! Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl!
It was on this day 7 years ago that the Dirty Dirty Atlanta had their hearts broken, that New England and Boston and that entire region were reminded Tom Brady's on another level. This was the 28-3 deficit overcame by the Patriots. This was the collapse of the Atlanta Falcons 7 years ago today. The largest deficit overcome in Super Bowl history. Remember when? I remember vividly. I remember exactly what I was thinking, feeling, drinking, losing as that happened, because I had the Falcons in that game,
yeah,
who not only led 28-3, Dean Thomas, but then didn't cover the spread because they were like a 4-point dog and they lost by 6 in overtime.
Oh, talk about a collapse.
First Super Bowl game ever to go to overtime, by the way, and then ending on a touchdown. That was Remember When on this day. Presented by Brain Matters Research, memoryscreeningsflorida.com. If you're 50 and over, memory screening should be part of your annual checkups anyway. But if you're not, listen, you know people and you love people who are 50 and above. It is a quick, fast, no cost to you whatsoever memory screening. Find out if you're good. Otherwise, you might participate in a study. By the way, you'll be compensated for your time and your travel, if that is the case. Alzheimer's, the leading form of dementia, things can be done now. Finding out that you may have indicators, things can be done. These two new FDA-approved treatments are doing amazing things in the fight against. I want you to go to memoryscreeningsflorida.com, memoryscreeningsflorida.com, 50 and over, please, part of your annual. And if you're not, send the people that you know and that you love. Nothing that they test you on, nothing they provide you or do for you will ever cost you a cent. They can't possibly take a cent. They don't have a cash register. Everything is at absolutely no cost to you. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Coming up when we return in just a second, we got drama inside ESPN. We got people on the air calling teammates, you know, coworkers of theirs, scrubs on the air. Yeah. And by the way, people are offended. You'll hear it coming up next. It is the Home Team live on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the Home Team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Super Bowl week is underway on the Home Team live from Super Bowl Radio Rosemary Square. There you go. That sounds good now, right?
That sounds fantastic.
It
finally?
It blows.
Okay, yeah. It means it's a home game basically for us, but that's all good in the hood. Coming up in just a second, ESPN personalities calling one another, or at least one calling the other, a scrub on TV. Is this appropriate? People are not happy. First, though, Dean Thomas on Celsius, which we all drink, which we all buy, which we all love, that took over completely the energy game drink, essential energy drinks to live fit, Dino.
Took the game over. And I know for me, I have an active lifestyle. I need a lot of energy because I be always on the grind. And I need something reliable and I need something that tastes good so I can always rely on Celsius. tastes great. They have flavors like lemon lime, kiwi, guava, Oasis Vibe. And I travel with it. You can travel with it as well. But they're on-the-go powder sticks. Just put them in a water bottle, whatever you need, and boom, you got it. You got Celsius on the go. So it doesn't matter whether I'm training fighters, I'm working a desk, or on a movie set. I can count on Celsius to give me the energy that I need. It's got 7 essential vitamins. It's good for you. No crash, no jitters, no nothing. Get yours from your local retailer. Celsius Essential Energy Drink.
Tina, hear that little flex? Or on a movie set.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on a movie set.
I wanted to flex on y'all because I got a movie coming up next month.
Take a listen this morning. This weekend was NFL Pro Bowl games, and there's a quarterback accuracy thing where there's targets for quarterbacks to throw balls at, and then there's some moving targets, including like robots, that have a number assigned to them. The closer they guard, the smaller the points that you earn. Well, Dan Orlovsky was a career backup for the most part in Detroit, who was a big-time NFL analyst on ESPN. He, while still wearing a dress shirt, and I believe tie, was throwing balls to kind of show that he still has a little bit of accuracy. He did that, but Mad Dog went on TV this morning, and Chris Russo had this to say about Orlovsky's performance and not being very impressed.
I care.
Which is definitely possible.
I was impressed.
Definitely possible.
I was impressed. Come on.
You're impressed.
Tua and
I
Jalen
can do
Hurts?
This. This is not that difficult.
No, you can't.
I can do this. Hammer the ball. I'll throw. Yes, I could. I'll throw the football that far. This is ridiculous. This, he was a scrub in the NFL. Oh, this does not make up for that.
Put your money where your mouth is. I'll set it up, and we'll see you in the precision drill. All right? I'll make this happen. I got this.
By the way, Orlovsky, later in the day, was on Pat McAfee's show, and he said that was inappropriate. He did not appreciate it.
He didn't like that?
No. Well, I mean, you're getting called a scrub on television by a dude who never played the game. You know, maybe I wasn't great in the NFL, but I was in the NFL, and guess what? All you do is talk about it on the radio.
That is a good point.
Feel me on that? Yeah, he's got a point there.
Like Israel Adesanya said to the MMA media, don't forget, long ago, remember, guys, I can do your job, you can't do mine. I can do my job and your job, you can't do mine.
Yeah, that is a great point.
Coming up as we get into the cocktail hour, we get back into NFL stuff. Plus, we got LeBron being passive-aggressive to another level. We talk about it all the time. But this is on another level altogether. We will explain what might happen, actually, with LeBron James. And back to Super Bowl 58 with a little insight. It is the home team for the ride home on ESPN 106.3.